The title itself is very indicative. The title is devotional service. So here, Sri Krishna is actually telling Arjuna who is the best of them all, who is very dear to him. Here he is saying that one who is free from all kinds of desires, he is not hankering for anything in this material world. His simple business is how can I please Sri Guru and Gauranga. And why I say Sri Guru and Gauranga is that one way we can understand that the activities which we are performing is very pleasing to Sri Krishna is when the spiritual master is very pleased with your activities. Because as is mentioned in the scriptures, that the spiritual master is an external manifestation of the Supreme Lord, is directly representative of the Lord. So, as Bhagavad Gita explains, that spiritual master is placed in a very high devotional platform because of his knowledge of the Supreme Lord, his Jnanina Tattva Darshina. He is fully knowledge, the Supreme Lord. And he knows how to serve the Lord because he is very intimate with the Lord. So the spiritual master knows that what kind of activities will be pleasing to the Supreme Lord. That is why the spiritual master makes all kinds of arrangements for the disciple to engage in different activities of devotional life so that they will be very pleasing to the Supreme Lord. You see, in the morning when we sing samsara prayers, the spiritual master is very expert in engaging his disciples in the worship of Radha and Krishna. He's making all kinds of arrangements to please the Lord to worship. To such a spiritual master, I pay my obeisances and respects to. So when we are praying our meditation in the morning, we are not glorifying Krishna. The first prayers of the day, when we sing the samsara prayers, what is the praise all about? The glorification of a pure devotee who has given us shelter and compassion to us. And after that, we sing the holy names of the Lord through the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But the first point is that we glorify the supreme devotee of the Lord. So here Krishna says, one who is free from all kinds of material hankerings, who neither laments or rejoices of any material gains, he renounces all his auspicious and inauspicious activities. He is very dear to me. So when we please the spiritual master in our spiritual activities, then the Supreme Lord is very pleased indeed. So our business is to engage in devotional service, especially because this chapter is now discussing our devotional service. After speaking to Arjuna about all different kinds of activities to convince him why he should fight this battle of Kurukshetra, explaining to him the very basic principle of you are not this body, your spirit soul. The spirit soul lives forever, but the body is annihilated through the process of birth, old age, disease and death. So at the end, the soul departs from his body and it goes on its onward journey and is eternal. So after convincing Arjuna that by killing all these people, you are not slaying the soul, you are only slaying their sinful bodies, by which means they are performing sinful activities. So you are actually doing them a favor by annihilating them from this cursed body. And when we are given a particular body, that body is not by some chance. Whatever body we have got, whether it's human body, or plant body, or animal body, or some bacterium, whichever body we have, that is due to our activities in our previous life. Whether we have done sinful activities or pious activities. According to that, the body is given to us. Now, if we have been very sinful in our past lives, and we may have done some small good deed in between, we may be qualified with a human body. But within that human body, because we are so conditioned by the previous life's conditioning, which carries on into the next life, we behave in a very sinful way. Practically, all of activities are very sinful. So Krishna is saying that by slaying these bodies, you are actually freeing them from this bondage, this is prison house, and you are giving them a fresh opportunity. But actually Prabhupada says that those who are killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, they were all liberated because they all died in the presence of the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees. So when you take, when you depart from this world, in the presence of the Supreme Lord, even though you are not in a state of remembering the Supreme Lord, still, by the very presence of the Supreme Lord, through his immense effulgence, he penetrates very deep into your core of your heart and he frees you. So, either way, it's no loss by slaying these people. So after conveying all that, then he is getting into the secret of knowledge. Rajavidya Rajapuram. This is the supreme knowledge which will free him from all his bondages. Then the chapter 12 comes to the secrets of devotional service. So we are in a very fortunate position that somehow, whether we are deserving or not deserving, simply by the compassion of a pure devotee, we have been able to come on a platform of devotional service. Devotional service is not easily granted to anybody. Because devotional service means that when you are engaging the service of the Supreme Lord, He is indebted to you. So if He is indebted to you, then He is not going to be indebted to any ordinary person. Krishna is willing to be submissive to His pure devotee. One who is immensely in love with Him. So this presently we are going to the month of Kartik, and our meditation is on Mother Yashoda and Damoda. But basically, our mostly during Kartik we are meditating on Damoda Yashoda Lila, where Yashoda is chastising Krishna and tying him to the wooden water, and then the deliverance of Manikriva and Nalkuya, who are bonded in the Ashoka tree. But that is not the real essence of this lila. The real essence is the love and affection which Mother Yashoda had for Krishna. See, Mother Yashoda was trying to tie Krishna with a rope, and every time she brings a longer rope. Now logically, if I am trying to tie something with a rope which is a few inches short, and if I get a few inches longer, then naturally through logic I would be able to tie that very easily, because the rope is longer. But in this case, every time Mother Yashoda brings longer rope, it still feels few inches short. So Prabhupada is learning that this is because Mother Yashoda is thinking that I will chastise my son who has been being naughty, and he has been harassing the gopis by stealing their butter and their yogurt and breaking the pots. So they are always complaining. So I have to make some chastisement to Krishna to teach him a lesson that this is wrong. So Krishna is saying, I am breaking the pots of these gopis, stealing butter from them, stealing yogurt from them. It's because there is very transcendental lila between us. And these gopis, although externally they are very angry and complaining to you that I have broken these pots and made a mess and stolen my butter and yogurt and fed to the other sakha boys and monkeys. But every time when I go there, they are eagerly waiting for me when Krishna is going to come to my house and break my pots and enjoy the yogurt and butter I have churned for him. So that is a very special bond. So here, Mother Yashoda is trying to tie Krishna with a rope of material understanding. But then finally, Mother Yashoda says, how can I be so cruel to my darling Krishna? Because Yashoda is fully in love with Krishna. Then the tears of devotion are coming from her eyes. And these are not tears of some frustration and you know, cannot chastise the child. But feeling the pain in the heart of even thinking about chastising Krishna, who is the emblem of her love. So here, Krishna sees those tears. Now these tears are not material tears. These are tears of pain of my devotee who is feeling extreme pain because of trying to be cruel to me. So then Krishna says, I will now be tied by the rope of devotion. So immediately Krishna is being tied to the water. Not by ordinary rope, but rope of devotion. So there, in this lila, we can see that Krishna will not grant anybody, everybody devotional service. Unless you are very qualified. So in our case, although we are not qualified, so we can see from, we are honest to ourselves, we see our previous activities before we came to Krishna consciousness, and even while executing Krishna consciousness, we are not fully in the spirit of this particular verse. We are always disturbed. If something we gain and is lost, or something we are endeavoring for, we don't get, we are always disturbed. And sometimes we rejoice, and sometimes we are distressful and miserable, because we are not getting what we want. This is the material platform. But for a devotee, he doesn't care whether he gets something or doesn't get. He simply thinks, whatever Krishna grants me, that is my due, and that what I am getting is for simply to be used in the service of the Lord. So, someone who is rightly situated on a spiritual platform of devotion will always be thinking, how can I serve Krishna? What arrangements can I make to serve Krishna? Whatever little things I have, I want to make best use of those things for the glorification and the worship of Krishna. But if you analyze ourselves in true honesty, maybe a fraction of the time we may be thinking how I can serve Krishna. Or some facilities I may have gained, I will use it in the service of Krishna. Mostly we are thinking of our own comforts, our own needs. Although we understand from the scriptures, I am not this body, I am spirit soul, I am supposed to engage fully in the service of the Lord, my pleasure comes by serving the Lord. So this is all theoretical knowledge. It is very difficult to put into practice. Because we are so much thinking, oh, his body is tired, his aches and pains are there, let me relieve myself, let me make myself comfortable, let me get myself a comfortable situation. How many times honestly we go to marketing and think, what would Krishna like today? Would he like mango today, or would he like bananas today? Or would he like apple today? Or would he like spinach turkey, or he may like eggplant? And then you think, okay, maybe I think let me meditate and see what Krishna inspires me, what he likes. Then you buy that item and make a nice dish, palatable dish, and offer to Krishna. So Krishna, this is purely for your pleasure. More likely than not, you won't think like that. You would think, what I like. My favorite is X, Y, and Z. So let me get that. But I'm a devotee. I offer it to Krishna. So we offer it to Krishna. And Krishna is like, fine, you make your show for offering. But there's something missing there. Atra Bhustam Palam Swayam Yome Bhakta Prayaja. That is magic ingredient. Devotion is lacking there. Simply show putting a plate in front of the Lord, nicely decorated with beautiful, colorful dish, which is his fragrance and taste-wise and everything. Krishna is not bothered with that. He is self-satisfied. He is not controlled by the 3-inch dove. You and I are controlled by this dove. It's only a 3-inch of flesh with some sensation of taste on it. And we are completely controlled by that. All of us have likes and dislikes in palatable foodstuffs. Even though it is prasadam. Suppose you are sitting for prasadam and wonderful offering has been done to the Lord. And eagerly you are waiting to receive prasadam, to respect. The devotee comes and says, Rasgulla, Rasamalai, Pakora, Kachori, Samosa, Karela. Can you instead give me that? But in absolute sense, if you understand our philosophy, whatever you offer to Krishna, it becomes transcendental. It becomes pure. Prasadam is pure mercy of Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. we can make distinguish that Kerala is any lesser than pakora or sweet. If you have a sweet tooth, you may be inclined towards sweets. If you are a savory man, then you try for savory. Only very few people who acquire the taste of Kerala who say, Prabhu, I will take Kerala. Anyhow, the point I am trying to make is that we have to have a proper understanding of Krishna consciousness practice. Although by somehow Krishna's mercy, compassion is upon us, His mercy is upon us, we have been allowed to come in the inner fold of devotional service, we have been allowed to become devotees of the Lord, although we have still not become devotees. Because I tell anybody that if anybody who claims to be a devotee is not a devotee, because really if you want to know who is a devotee, you read the story of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. From the age of 5, he is only thinking about the Supreme Lord and nothing else. Complete 100% faith in Krishna. In any adversity, never mind the good time, because he is a prince, Hiranyakashipu is a great mansion, he has got all the fineries of life. So he is not luxurious. But he is not bothered by that. But at the same time, all the distress which came his way was also free. He is a devotee. Then he comes into our present. Future means near past. And we see Srila Prabhupada's life. And you see how Prabhupada went through tremendous difficulties. But he never complained once. He never said, I'm not coming to this house. He said, how I can progress in this mission of my Guru Maharaj to give Krishna consciousness to the world who are lacking and suffering from the lack of knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, he went around the world in a great difficult situation. And his body was also giving trouble. But still, he was eager to give. And you see Prabhupada, always happy. He's always happy. Why? Because he's always completely fixed in Krishna. He's always thinking about Krishna. He doesn't think for himself. He's saying, what we can offer best to Krishna? One example I give, that when Prabhupada was passing through that lane in Juhu, and he never had a penny in his pocket, and this was before even his course started. You know, when he was living in Bombay, and associating with the Gaudiya Mart in those days, he would go past this property, and he would look at it, and say, Krishna, if you give me this property, I will build you a marble palace here. Now Prabhupada wasn't thinking, if I get a nice property here, I'll make a nice ashram with my own facilities here so that I'm safe for life. Prabhupada didn't think that. He said, I want to give something to Krishna. And later when Krishna gave him that land, he made tremendous sacrifices to give Radharas Bihari his palace. He said, I promise you. And when he actually got that land, he invited Radharas Bihari first. And he stole them in a metal shack. And he said, for now, dear Lord, you please accept this humble offering. But very soon, I will build you a palace of marble. Prabhupada did that. For the glorification of Radharas Bihari. Not for his own guardians, his own grand eyes. Just for the pleasure of Krishna. And every time Prabhupada is preaching, every single incident, Prabhupada, this is for Krishna. How we can serve Krishna. So the point is, one time, Prabhupada was in a high flat in New York. It was rented for a few days. There was a faucet tap in the kitchen, dripping. Prabhupada said, what is that noise? So they said, oh, Prabhupada, the tap is leaking. So Prabhupada said, fix it. Then the devotee said, Prabhupada, but we are only here for a few days. No, why waste time and energy for that? And Prabhupada said, you do not understand. Every drop of that water is Krishna's energy. Why are you wasting it? Prabhupada is so conscious. He sees everything in relation to Krishna. Now, if you are lying, like the other devotee said, Prabhupada, we are here only for a couple of days. Why are you fixing that? Tomorrow will be gone. Let someone else fix it. It's their headache. but we don't think that this is Krishna. So we have to have that deep understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. Anything that is being granted to us by His grace upon us, how best we can utilize that for the service of the Lord and make all human arrangements. And our happiness comes through that. But that happiness is not material. This is transcendental happiness. As Prabhupada is saying here in this purpose, that this one does not rejoice or lament for some material gains or losses. But it transcends when he is fully renounced in all the auspicious and inauspicious things. And when he is transcended, he is feeling a special bliss which is coming from Krishna. And once you have tested that happiness, then all unhappiness is come in the material world by getting a few small knickknacks. It will be no value. It's just like, you know, you get a child, a 5-year-old child in a candy shop, and say, this is your domain, choose what you want. The child is going, and he is like completely rejoicing for the whole shop. So he goes around and puts a fistful here, a fistful there, put this pocket, that pocket, this pocket, and he's like filling his pockets up, and now pockets are filled because he's a young boy, so he doesn't have any pockets also. He's like, you know, maybe a handful of sweets and candies, and that's it, pockets are full. So this pocket is full, this pocket is full, this pocket is full, now two hands are full, then he looks around. There's still so much more. And then he laments. He says, I can't take all this. So this is our happiness is like that. In the material world, you may get these, there, other, the fantasmagoria of this material creation is saying, hey, take this, flashing lights, this new technological equipment is in the market, this facility is there, that facility is there. Why I want that? Maybe if I have that, your life will be a little better. And you are like little child with a candy, you know, trying to pick. And when you get all these things, it's a big headache. I tell you, one example. In England, you know, we are so spoiled that every home has a washing machine. Practically, I don't think anybody doesn't own a washing machine. And if you don't own a washing machine, then there's a laundromat. You go down to the local laundry and stick your machine in, clothes in the machine, put your pounds in there, and press the button, and you're happy. You know. So, washing is so easy. But if that machine breaks down, what happens? You're phoning up this company, that company, come and fix my machine. The guy said, well, you know, we don't have time because I'm so busy fixing this machine, that machine. And for 3-4 days, no laundry, you're losing out of your mind. But this water is there, sink is there, soap is there, bucket is there. Fill the bucket with water, put soap in there, soak it in, and clean it and rinse it, and you're ready. Clothes are dry and done. What's the problem? Oh, it's so much time consuming, and I never washed clothes in my life. How do we do it? Now, you know, it's not a atomic science to wash clothes, you know. It's a very simple art. You know, anybody can do it with little intelligence. But they can't do it. Because they are so spoiled. So, they're so dependent on these things. And then what we do is we become very expert now. I'm a devotee. I'm Krishna conscious, I'm initiated, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, I'm doing some service, and I'm happily situated now. And then we quote verses from Rupa Goswami's teachings. Everything that is favorable in Krishna consciousness you accept, everything is unfavorable you reject. So you make choice now, okay, I'll reject this, I'll accept this. But I like this, so I'll accept this. I don't like this, I'll reject that. So it's not about rejecting and accepting, we have Krishna, what I like and what I don't like. So we justify all our Maya by citing scriptures. So it is now authority. Nobody can doubt you. They say, hey, scripture is saying this. Why you cannot accept scripture? You don't accept scripture means you don't accept Krishna. So I'm justifying my nonsense by citing scriptures. Then what happens? Krishna says, okay, I have created this wonderful playground for you. Prabhupada says, this world is full of cheaters and cheaters. Those who want to be cheated will find cheaters. Those who want to be do nonsense, Krishna says, I give you the intelligence to do nonsense. Whatever you want, I will do. No problem. But after that, now come running to me complaining. the miseries that follow after that situation of I am suffering. Because mostly devotees are always, why suffering? Why I am suffering? We are not thinking about that what deeds we have performed, and this is the consequence of those deeds. Any misery comes your way is because you have done wrong to someone. Otherwise, that will happen to you. If someone, I'm walking down the street, and some guy just out of the blue comes and smacks me in the face. I didn't do anything to him. Why did he smack me? See, the previous life you may have smacked him, so he's going to smack you now. But just because you can't remember the previous smacking, doesn't mean that what he's smacking is now is wrong. So there must be some cause for it. It's not just randomly just comes and smacks you. Nothing happens randomly. Krishna's creation is completely in order. Everything functions perfectly. Nothing happens by some accident or some by randomness or some disorder. Everything is very ordered. But we cannot perceive this in that way. We see different. So we have to have a very clear understanding of Krishna consciousness. When we are practicing our Krishna consciousness activities, we should understand what is the purpose and goal of Krishna consciousness and how we can be free from this. And not be, you know, in a position of lamenting or rejoicing for some gains. So these are all temporary. So we have all experienced. Sometimes we are very joyous because we have got something we want, and other times we have lost something we have and then we are lamenting. So someone has got a nice gold ring and somehow he loses it. So this whole month is being very lose the ring. And he turns the house upside down, this corner, that corner, everywhere, still thinking of the ring. And the amount of time he spends looking for the ring, if he had used that time properly, he could have earned a few more dollars and buy a new one. What's the big deal? No big deal. If you lose Krishna Bhakti, then it's a big deal. You have to look for every corner of this universe. Where is this Bhakti? I want my Bhakti back. I don't want to lose that. This is a material thing that you can gain and lose. What is it? But we are so much in stress, anxiety. So that's why in this verse it's mentioned that we have to rise to all these things. And we have to become very dear to Krishna. And when we become very dear to Krishna, then Krishna is now fully in control of your life. He will direct your activities and guide you in a righteous way. This is why our prayer to the Supreme Lord should be, dear Lord, I surrender to you. Do what you want. See, such the embrace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is he saying? Either you embrace me or you don't embrace me. You may be broken hearted, you don't know, whatever you do, I am okay. But our prayers are not like that. Our prayers are different. You please embrace me only. Don't make me broken hearted. So then we are not right situated, because we are differentiated. Lord is absolute. Whatever he does is absolute. Supreme Lord, he steals, is perfection. Even I steal, we are in trouble. Krishna is going around stealing the gopis' clothes. He is considered a great activity. Now, if I do something like that, goodness gracious me, will be in the prison house with a lot of allegations against your character, and you probably will be banned from the society. Maybe 20 years locked up. So, Krishna's activities are perfect. Our activities are not, because our activities are related to mundane situation. At any rate, whatever Krishna does, whatever Krishna gives us, good, bad, whatever, this is for our benefit. You have to see in that spirit. Just like in the 12th canto, or 11th canto, the story of Avanti Brahmin. The Avanti Brahmin, if you read that story, he says he had everything, all opulence. And slowly, one by one, he is losing his opulence. Then his family members are abandoning him because there is no more money, no more house, no more this. So they are all abandoning him. Finally, he comes on his own. And he has nothing. But still, he is not saying and cursing Krishna that I have everything and you took away from me. Saying, whatever you do, Lord, it is okay. But don't let me forget you. Let me please remember you. So then one day, when he is walking the streets, and there is no food for him, nothing, and after a few days of hunger, finally comes to one house, then the housewife says, I have nothing but this dry chapati from 2 days old. If you also desire, I can give you that. So the Avati Brahma saying, it is fine. Whatever the Lord provides, it is His grace upon you. So he is so much happy to receive this dry chapati, this 2 days old, but he doesn't start munching away. He finds a nice clean place, he finds some big leaves, he puts on the ground, puts the chapati on the floor, on those leaves, and then he's making prayers to the Lord. Thanking the Lord for this grace upon him, that he will get to eat a morsel of chapati after so many days of hunger. But meanwhile, there is monkey sitting on the tree, they are making urination on the chapati. Ramani's eyes are closed and he's praying to the Lord while monkey is doing his business and urinating on the chapati. What happened? He looked. And he said, thank you, dear Lord. He's not disturbed. Well, the chapati somehow came to him, but it wasn't his to consume. That is why the act of these monkeys urination came and ruined that roti. He wasn't disturbed. Then I was only temporarily custodian. So like that, many times many things come to us. That is mine. I bought it. I earned it. I am the proprietor. But we should think, by the grace of the Lord, He has made me a temporary custodian of what I have. It is His, not mine. If it is His, then what should we do to that? We should make sure that it is used for Him and given to Him. We have these Indian prayer. Most Indian temples, they have these prayer they sing, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare. I'm sure you must be familiar with it, because when you are attending program downstairs, they sing that prayer every day for Aarti. But what is one line that the prayer says? Anyone remember? सब कुछ तेरा है भगवान तेरा तुझको अर्पण करता हूँ भगवान सुप्रीम लॉर्ड तेरा तुझको अर्पण करता हूँ आई एम गिविंग यू योर्स बैक सो वी आर सेइंग दैट वी आर रिकॉग्नाइजिंग दैट लॉर्ड आई डोंट हैव एनीथिंग व्हाटएवर दिस इज योर्स एंड आई एम गिविंग इट बैक टू यू स्टिल आफ्टर द प्रेयर इज फिनिश महाय माय हाउस My children, my wife, my this, my dog, my cat, all mine. How can be mine? Just moments before we are praying to the Lord that everything is your mercy and whatever I have, it is yours, I'm giving back to you. We have a culture, Vedic culture is such, that is teaching us to recognize that the Supreme Lord is the proprietor of all. And our satisfaction, happiness comes in giving these things back to the Supreme Lord. But one thing you should not remember, the Supreme Lord is so kind and merciful that whatever you give Him, He throws it back to you in 100 folds. He doesn't deprive you. He just wants to see your act of renounce and detention. And if you detach, He will give you unlimited, because then you will know how to use these things properly in the service of the Lord. So, the spirit must be embedded in us. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, you know, that when he left his home and began to practice his renounced life, Krishna took everything from him. His wife, he left, his children, he left, his home, he left. He had nothing. He was living in Vrindavan, and then he was staying in one place, and then another place, and finally he got shelter at Radha Damodara temple. He was staying there as a simple mendicant with no real belongings. And he remembered that his life's mission is to fulfill the instructions of his spiritual master to him. And his spiritual master's instruction was that you preach this message of Bhagavad to the western country where English is very prominent. You speak in English language because somehow you are educated in English. There was a British Raj here, he went to a Scottish church school, so his education was, you know, in English, English was much powerful. in those days, you know, I mean, nowadays people don't have that kind of powerful English in India. Although they are making good imitation of it, but anyway, you know, Prabhupada was preparing. And then when he went to America, he wasn't thinking, I am going to this strange country, I have no acquaintance there, I have no home there, I don't know anybody or anything, how I will survive? I am an old man, I am going to a strange country with strange culture, what will happen to me? Let me make some preparations first. No, Prabhupada said, this is order of my Guru Maharaj, he has asked me to go there, I must make simply the arrangement to go there. Once I am there, this is Abhu Krishna what he makes me do. The Prabhupada says, explain later on, I came in a simple desire to fulfill the instruction of my Guru Maharaj. And Krishna saw my sincerity and he gave me the whole world. Before he took everything from me. And I was not disturbed. So when Prabhupada, everything was gone, Prabhupada was not disturbed. He was actually very happy that all the attachments were free, shackles into binding him were all free for what the real purpose in his life was, to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to spread the holy name in every town and village of this world. So Prabhupada did that, and Krishna gave him all facilities to do that. So this is the spirit of one's sincere faith in the instructions of the spiritual master and Krishna. And if you follow that, then perfection comes without fail. We will never miss out on anything. We all know this, we all hear this. Many times a speaker after speaker speaks about this subject matter. We read in Prabhupada's books. And hear again this message. We appreciate it very much. But we cannot implement it. That is why we are miserable Lord. That's why we are suffering in this world for want of things. But simply we have faith in Krishna that I will simply serve Krishna in whatever capacity I have. And Krishna will provide for all my needs. And this is underlined, all my needs. So Krishna will very happily grant you all your needs. But he wants, fulfill all your wants. I want, I want, I want, therefore I need. See how mind works? I want, I want, I want, therefore I need this. So I need this means Krishna, he must fulfill because it is my need. But Krishna sees from the other end of things. From where I am standing, it is not your need. It is just your greed and lust. So I will not give it. Then you don't get it, then what happens? Your faith gets weakened in Krishna. And Krishna is promising this thing and is not giving. We are hearing from lectures of many devotees, they are saying, surrender to Krishna and everything will be perfect. Surrendering and everything is perfect. So there was something wrong here in this contract. Maybe I should go back and read the small print, maybe there is some kind of small print which says, you all do these things, I will give you, but it is my prerogative whether I don't give you or don't give you. No, Krishna gives, as I said, he gives you what is your need. But fortunately, we cannot recognize what is our need. We are so blinded by that. By material energy and conditioning for many lifetimes. That we cannot differentiate between our want and our need. And because there is a confusion between our want and need, we are always thinking my want is my need. And then when we don't get our need, we are thinking that Krishna is very unkind to me, he is not fulfilling my desires of what I want. But Krishna is giving you, but you are not satisfied with what you want. Just like a child, you take him to the candy store, same analogy. Krishna is giving you unlimited candies and he's taking whatever he wants. And he gets what he wants. Pockets are full, his hands are full. But he's thinking, no, my need is the whole shop. And you are in the shop, you have enough, you need what you can at that moment in time. If you have faith, Krishna will give you again tomorrow. and again tomorrow. We must have faith in Krishna. But we are thinking, what if Krishna doesn't do? Then I will make some special arrangements that I have some storage, so that if I don't get here, then at least my battery is full of my requirements. No. That is what we are doing. Krishna says very clearly, surrender to me, I will free you from all kinds of calamities and bondage. And by freeing you from this, you will be happily situated. But what happens? Say, okay Krishna, this is very nice, I like your philosophy, I like your promise, what you do, I have read in the scriptures that you fulfill desires of many of your wonderful devotees, so I am also one of your devotees, so naturally you will also fulfill my desires. But I will have one plan B, just in case you don't fulfill your bargain, then at least my plan B is in action. So that Krishna says, if you are already thinking of failure, then why go straight to plan B? Why worry about plan A? One who is firmly fixed, he only knows one. Eka Guru Nandana, resolute in purpose. He is fixed. He doesn't want to go here, there, anywhere. He is convinced plan A is perfect. There is no need for plan B. But why make plan B? It's because you doubt your plan A. And if you doubt in plan A, then in plan A is not perfect. What is the plan A? He says, Sarva Dharma Parijata Amame Kamsana Vajan Aham Tam Sarva Bhavu. We expect for quoting this loka. Can we preach to everyone? Sarva Dharma Parijata Amame Kamsana Vajan. This is Amame Kam, you surrender to me. Aham Tam Sarva Bhavu. You are free from all kinds of misery and anxieties. You are a very good preacher. You know so much scriptures and knowledge. Yeah, Krishna is saying this. But then in your own life, forget about Sarva Dharma Parijata. Manakam Sarva Parijata doesn't come into picture. Because we haven't even given Sarva Dharma Parijata. We have not given up our Dharma. This Krishna says Sarva Dharma. He doesn't say a Dharma or one Dharma or two Dharma. He says Sarva Dharma Parijata. It's everything. And what is the Dharma? Not your religion. Krishna doesn't give up your religion. See, sometimes we equate Dharma in English language as religion. Because there is no real word for Dharma in English. Prabhupada explains in a definition of what is Dharma. Prabhupada says, Dharma of fire is to burn. Dharma of water is to wet. If something is not wet by liquid, then it is not water. You try to soak your cloth in petrol. Is it going to make your cloth wet? It's not. When you put in a bucket of water, it's going to make it wet. Similarly, if you put your cloth in fire, it will catch fire. But nowadays you have this, Christmas is here, we have these imitation flames coming, in the marketplace. You plug it in and you see flames flickering, it looks like a nice authentic flame, You put it in there, what happens? It looks like flame, but it's not a flame, because this is not Dharma, it is just some show. A flame means fire, fire means burn. So, our Dharma, what is our Dharma? Our Dharma is to love Supreme Law. That is the absolute Dharma. So Krishna, when he is saying Sarva Dharma Parijata, give all this mundane understanding. Not that Dharma of loving the Supreme Law. But that is not material. That is Supreme. Just like in this sloka what he is saying. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. So Krishna is saying very clearly that this is what you give up, which are the dualities of this material world. Not your real dharma. Your real dharma is Jivere Swarupo Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. You eternally the servant of the Supreme Lord. But when it comes to practicing, being a servant of the God, Supreme Lord, we are failing. Because what does servant mean? You have always known God to serve, not then serve, half a day or 1 hour or 2 hours. because I have to do other things. And I can only spare this much time for serving Krishna. Servant means servant. He is always there. 24 hours there. If you want to know the perfection of a servant, he is Hanuman. From the moment Ramchandra opens his eyes in the morning, Hanuman is back there in his bedside to serve him. Then, at night time, when Lord Ramachandra is taking rest, still Hanuman doesn't say, "Hard day. The master is sleeping now. Let me take a nap. Let me take a quick 5 minutes nap so that you know my body is together and I'm not weak and I cannot serve my Lord and Master." He immediately goes to the roof of the palace with his gada, with his eyes wide open, and he's looking in all the four directions. He said, "Nobody should come and disturb the sleep of my Lord Ram. Nothing should disturb his peace." And then immediately, when the cockle crows and Ram is up, he's down there at his lotus feet, serving him. So when is Hanuman sleeping? He doesn't sleep. He is only thinking how I can serve the Lord Ram. So we can also become like Hanuman, but we must have the same spirit of Hanuman. Unfortunately, we don't have the spirit, so we cannot become free from sleep. Just like Krishna has explained to Arjuna, why he is addressing as Budakesh. Budakesh means one who is liberated from sleep. He is one who doesn't sleep. He is addressing Arjuna as Budakesh, one who is free from even sleep. So as Arjuna is another example, who is not sleeping. So, servant means that we must serve Krishna 24 hours a day. Now, to be practical in this world, they say we cannot be like Hanuman and immediate, you know, maybe you can stay for 24 hours wide awake, and after the next few hours, you know, your eyes are drooping and your body is all quivering and fainting and so many things happen that you just collapse. And then after that, you cannot do anything. So we have to be practical. So what is Krishna consciousness? Every moment we have, we should think how I can serve Krishna, what arrangements I can do for his glorification. And Prabhupada said, for a devotee, when he's sleeping, taking rest, actually Prabhupada doesn't use the word sleeping. Prabhupada said, when a devotee takes rest, he is resting, not sleeping. Sleeping is ignorance. So when you're resting the body, you're resting this body, why? So that the body is rested enough, so that it is full of vigor and energy when it comes out of his rest for more, and is ready to do service again for the Lord. So he's even sleeping or resting is done in the same mood as a service to the Lord. Not so for our own tiredness and say, "Now I'm tired today, I'm just going to sleep." You know. The mood, the consciousness in how we do our activities. Every activity should be in a proper understanding with proper consciousness. You know, the scriptures are giving us many, many directions, many instructions. And they're not just instructions and directions, but they are to be implemented. And how best to implement them? Prabhupada also says, under an expert guidance of a spiritual master who can see how to engage an individual disciple for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because we are not all on the same level. We are on all different levels. And we are all capable of different levels of service. The spiritual master is an expert person. He will see the individuals, and as per the individual's requirement and needs, will engage that person so that gradually that devotee is making advancement in his spiritual life and becomes perfect. When we become perfect, then we become very dear to Krishna and we are free from all bondages of this material world. So time is now 5 past 8. I will stop here. I thank you all very much for allowing me to share some of my thoughts with you. If time permits, if someone has a question, any one or two questions we can get. Yes, sir.
Can you elaborate on the point of Vishwa Shiva Vaishya? Some person who gives up
we are looking at Bharat, basically that is because we are thinking this is an auspicious moment, this is inauspicious moment on a mundane platform. On a transcendental platform, all seconds, all tithis, all timing is absolutely perfect. So when you worship Krishna, you don't think that according to the Murat, this is an inauspicious time, so I will not worship Krishna. Krishna is beyond Murats. So in other words, Krishna consciousness transcends this business. This Murat, or when you look at tithis and all the times of different days of the different hours of the day to perform certain activities, whether it is good to perform a ritual activity now, or maybe in the bad periods I'll wait at 4 o'clock, the good period begins, so I'll do it at 4 o'clock. This is mundane and material. Krishna doesn't say that you have to do this. These things are for those who are in the material world, who want to live in the material world and get material benefits. So just like Prabhupada said, if you worship the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, then you have transcended the material world. But if you want to stay in the material world and have material facilities and material happiness, then there are many, many spiritual directions of worshipping this demigod or that demigod, and you'll get this result, and if you worship that demigod, you'll get that result, and you do this puja, you'll get this result. These are all mundane for material things. Shubha, Shubha and Ashubha, all these you must give up. This is a mundane. Because in Krishna consciousness, all activities are auspicious. Because they are linked with the Supreme Auspicious. When he is separate from him, then he is a mundane level. So then it comes on a mundane level of thinking. What is in the realm of auspiciousness and inauspicious? You have to understand, everything in relation to Krishna is absolute. Yeah? Any more, any questions? Don't feel shy. You know, there's a famous saying, ignorance is bliss. But at the same time, ignorance will keep us in darkness. If you inquire, ask a question, it will free you from ignorance and bring you into knowledge. Otherwise you remain in darkness, and I don't think you won't remain in darkness. So sometimes the question may seem very silly. You may be embarrassed to ask a question because you are feeling that if I ask this question, I will make a fool of myself. Don't think like that, because everybody else is thinking the same thing. They won't ask the same question, but they are fearful that they will be a fool. So maybe I don't make a fool of myself, I will not ask. Yes.
In the first line of the purport is stated, a pure devotee is neither happy nor distressed. So the address is a pure devotee. So sometimes it's stated, Maharaj, that we should not imitate but follow. So what is the difference between imitating and following a pure devotee?
Well, imitating is, you try to do something, just like the other person. And act just like him, as if he's, on a pure platform. And following his footsteps is his direction. Just like I give one example of Lord Buddha. He goes out every day for begging. And his principle was he would go to three places. After three places, whatever he has got, that is for that day. So if he doesn't get anything after the third house, that he would consider, okay, I don't know, it's not meant for me today. So one day, he was going past and he happened to come to one shop vendor who was selling alcohol. So, Buddha, he just put his commander and said, Bhikshandin, and the guy said, this is wrong place, my friend. Bhikshandin. So yeah, three times he said, you want to give, you give, you don't, so be. Okay. So he pours the commander full of alcohol, and Lord Buddha is serving all. And then he goes back to the ashram. So disciples are following him. Wow, this is great fun! They started singing their commander now. They started drinking. And they were so intoxicated that they lost their mind. They didn't know where they were. So all night they were just lying here and everywhere. And the next morning, sort of, they came to senses. They were like, oh my goodness, let's go back to the ashram. So they went to the ashram. The Lord Buddha looked at this and said, oh, okay. They have to teach these guys some lessons because they imitated me, not follow my instructions. So, next day, he is purposefully going to a place where there is molten lead. Dikshandehim. So that is, there is no food here, it's molten lead. You want to give him? Dikshandehim. So that is, okay, he calls molten lead. Lord Buddha. Next is. Molten lead? They could handle it. So, Prabhupada then, the moral of the story is that you have to hear instructions which leads us, not imitate. So we have to be very careful, and how we can know we are imitating or we are actually following sincerely and not doing something which is out of Krishna consciousness, that you associate with devotees. There are many devotees and there are some senior devotees around. If they see you are doing something wrong, they will correct you. At the same time, we take shelter of the spiritual master, so he will be vigilant, because it is his duty. Guru Nasasya, Pita Nasasya, Shabda is saying that the spiritual master has no right to have disciples if he is not concerned to deliver his disciple from the cycle of birth and death. So it is his utmost duty to make sure each and every disciple is given individual care for the spiritual upliftment. So he will be very vigilant and he will guide you. So if you are doing something wayward, you will show your position of right, correct yourself. So there are many check and balances in Krishna consciousness which will put us in the right path. And then we don't imitate. But when he's saying a pure devotee, at heart we are all pure. It's just a contamination which is making us impure. So as we polish our hearts more and more by the chanting of the holy name and devotional service, then the soul again regains its natural shine. Just like Prabhupada many times said, a silver utensil, when it's neglected, becomes very tarnished. But more you polish, it becomes natural shine again. So the soul is always pure. It is just because it has got dust around it, it appears impure. It is not impure, it is pure. So, it hardly all pure. So, Krishna is saying that, Prabhupada is saying here in this verse, a pure devotee. So, we should be aiming for that, to be free from all these things. And a pure devotee means that when we are free from all these desires, wants, and needs for material gains and pleasures, then we become transcendent. And every one of us can transcend that. There's no restriction. So we have to be very careful in how we practice Krishna consciousness. And so I think we are now going to offer some deepa to Damodar and pray to him that we also can tie him with our love and devotion. So then he will free us, like the two unfortunate souls who were cursed to be trees for millions of years, one Griva and another Kuya. So we are like them actually, you know, in the material world for so many years, not as trees, but we are going to different bodies. So by offering deepa, let's pray to Lord Damodar, free me from these bodies. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.